Now, the dog's brain and how it functions with the body is key for any dog parent to understand. You don't have to have a degree in neuroscience to understand the brain of your dog, because in this episode, I'm making it quite simple and only focusing on what you need to know. Those listeners who are punctilious, not to worry. I will have references on our site for further in-depth details. And so let's chew down on this story that helps to explain the brain in a reactive dog. And it's not much different to our biological processes residing behind our own emotional eruptions. So here's a story of how a dog's brain works. Very simplified. And of course, with a caveat on the limitations of storytelling to carry the whole truth about neural complexities. So hopefully that caveat satisfies you if you're part of the scientific community. But if you are like me, you will appreciate that a vivid story helps the memory retain the information you need as a dog parent. The bottom line first. Your dog's brain is being hijacked when they erupt in reactivity to things like people, other dogs, or noises. So let me explain. Let's begin with imagining a little inside the brain whose role is to send and translate messages between different functional areas in the brain. So this is like WhatsApp, but for the brain. Let's for fun call it, "Hey You." These are different areas inside the brain that use "Hey You" to communicate and activate our nervous system and other biological systems. So we have all these different areas using "Hey You." And these areas, for simplicity, are going to become colorful characters in our story. So let me now introduce you to Reggie. Reggie is aptly named because she likes to regulate the body. She's a very ancient part of the brain, and so you can imagine her with gray hair bundled on top of her head and attached to "Hey You." This is a similar relationship between you and your phone. Reggie has been around for such a long time that she runs most of her processes on instinct, processes that activate different parts of the body. Reggie's goal is to regulate the body when she receives messages through "Hey You." So what type of messages does she receive? Things like, "Oh, there's a threat," or any other messages that require a response that she needs control over. Let's say Reggie receives an alert that there is a threat. She then sends messages to the spine and other outposts in the body, insisting they respond to her and act accordingly. She is a real badass. Reggie is very important in your dog's behavior, so please remember her. Interestingly, Reggie begins functioning when our dogs are newly born, and then throughout their lives to make sure they have the best chance to survive and thrive. Like if a pup is cold, Reggie helps them by making the pup shiver to warm them up. Reggie, the regulator, okay? So now let's introduce you to other characters who represent areas of the brain that use "Hey You" as well. Another is Tom. Well, Tom is a very emotional fellow, always using "Hey You" when he accepts sensory information and determines if it's a threat or not. Now, for reactive dogs, think of Tom as an overwrought person that resides in your dog's brain. Imagine Tom as someone always, you know, wringing his hand and always being vigilant. Now, do you have a Tom in your life you can relate this part of your brain to? Maybe a family member? Or a colleague who is hypervigilant, perhaps even a little annoying, but always presenting the most dire warnings, or someone you know who worries excessively? Like, this guy is super jumpy. Tom is also with us and our dogs from birth to ensure the best chance for survival. What Tom does is he monitors sensory inputs like what the body touches, smells, tastes, hears, and even sees and more. He then interprets them for threats. Being super emotional, Tom shows himself in a dog's behavior that is observable by you as a dog parent. You may see a dog who is always looking around, sometimes described as having a frantic energy, and certainly reactive to many things, such as people, sound, or other dogs. Another observable trait is when Tom is super active and hypervigilant in your dog, they are often sleep deprived. So, a quick fun fact. Did you know that dogs require 15 hours of sleep a day? Not 8, but 15. And this is not the snoozing type of sleep where any movement on your part that the dog's head pops up and sees what's going on. No, this is the deep restorative type. It is hard to know that your dog is deeply sleeping, but you can if they're snoring, twitching, and not listening with one eye open. So back to Tom. He is also a fellow who is actively on Hey You and sends messages to Reggie all the time. I want to emphasize the exceptional speed in which Tom and Reggie work together. They can often surpass all brain function, like logic and reason, to elicit that immediate emotional reaction. So if you've ever described your dog as going from 0 to 100, referencing the speed in which your dog reacts, you can blame Tom. He started it. Tom can rapidly prepare your dog to evade danger, but he is also responsible for exaggerated emotional reactions to what we, as dog parents, would view as a harmless event. Now, Tom is not all that bad. In a normally developed dog who has experienced a sense of safety and nurturing when growing up, Tom would use Hey You to contact Reggie that all is okay. Reggie then sends all these lovely activations throughout the body, and our dog becomes socially engaged and connected with us, arriving at our feet with toys and asking to be played with. Knowing about Tom and Reggie is important. Again, when Reggie says go, the body responds without question. Now, when you think about it, Reggie's a pretty cool lady, right? Not to take away from Tom, but Reggie commands an entire network throughout her body. She takes over completely. You could say she hijacks our dog, like in our story about Max. When the dog walker walked in, Tom messaged Reggie a threat, and Reggie then took over Max to help him survive. Now, Reggie will shut down anything that is not needed during this survival activation, and that's really important. Reggie is why your dog won't take treats when they are frightened or worried. Why? In the moment, the stress of survival triggers, Reggie shuts down digestion. Reggie is why your dog can't hear you when they're reactive. And that might come as a surprise, but there's two reasons. Blood flow and energy are redirected to muscles for quick reaction, reducing brain resources for processing external requests. Dogs will focus intensely on the perceived threat, diminishing their ability to hear and respond to other stimuli. In other words, when Reggie decides the dog must fight to survive, listening to you is not as important as getting those legs moving to run away or perhaps focus on fighting the threat. When Tom signals that there's a threat, Reggie is there each and every time, like a big sister to Tom, coordinating the best response to keep the dog safe. Okay, so let's recap what we've learned before we move on. We have this messaging-like app, Hey You, that sends messages back and forth between two characters that are really areas of the brain. But for simplicity and retention purposes, we've called them Tom and Reggie. So consider this. What would it be like to hire a supervisor to sort things out before Reggie takes over? Wouldn't that be cool, right? And it's really fascinating that there is someone in your dog's brain right now that you can develop to have a supervisor-like role over his or her emotional reactions. Neat, isn't it? This is part two, where we will explore the supervisor as a new character named Conrad. Okay, let's unleash this knowledge. But before we do, know that I count on listeners like you to subscribe and to continue to make this information free and accessible to all dog parents. It's so easy to subscribe, like, and set up notifications, yet with these simple actions, they mean so much. I see it as an act of kindness to all the dog parents who are heroes to rescue dogs, dogs who have been traumatized, dogs needing a forever home, and I truly appreciate it. So I'm going to ask you now, would you paw the subscribe button and use the bell to stay in the bark about new episodes? Okay, so it will help me to stop using bad dog puns, which actually I kind of like, but it's an affliction known as punderful positivity. Okay, let's dig into the details. I'm done with the puns. Conrad is really the prefrontal cortex for those who want to be in the know. Conrad is an exciting character for dog parents everywhere. Why? Conrad is malleable and can be used to help Tom calm the heck down. And Conrad can also be assessed through your dog's behavior to determine his developmental stage, so you know where you are starting from. For example, a dog who has woefully little impulse control provides you with an opportunity to develop Conrad further. For example, a dog who has woefully little impulse control provides you with the opportunity to develop Conrad further. Whereas a dog who is wonderfully flexible in his behaviors, given different social situations, likely has the best functionality from Conrad. Basically, the takeaway here is that our dog's behavior tells us what we have to work with, and it changes over time as the dog matures. More so, it changes our questions to be better and more informed. So instead of asking, how can I fix my dog, which we often do, we can ask instead, what does my dog's behavior tell me about the health of his or her brain? So I will reveal more about Conrad's development stages and observable ways you can assess the development of Conrad in your dog in a moment. Once developed, Conrad is an excellent coach and partner to all the emotions coming from Tom. Conrad is the best brain friend to dogs in so many ways. Think of him like a coach. We'll call him Coach Conrad. In this brain area that we call Conrad, it can be developed and transformed by experiences, thanks to the neuroscientific phenomenon called neuroplasticity. Our brain is constantly changing, and so is our dog's. We have a new connection forming and dying out all the time. Oh, yes, there's one forming now. Oh, so funny. For dogs, the changes are in responses to the outgoing interactions with their environment. So positive experiences rewire your dog's brain. You can help by designing these positive experiences to teach your dog how to react to things that used to be stressful and fearful, like the dog behind the back fence, the delivery man at the front door, or a family member who is unpredictable. You just need to design experiences that are wonderful and positive to get Conrad more in the picture. And in doing so, we constantly modify the connections in the brain and mature the areas, like Conrad, to help calm your dog, make better decisions, and increase impulse control. So empowering Coach Conrad is a vital part of changing behavior. Another thing about Coach Conrad: once he's fully developed, he is a smart guy who helps dogs understand and react to the world around them. He uses the dog's senses, the dog's emotions, and the dog's past experiences to do this. Conrad, as I mentioned, is the prefrontal cortex. He is the command center for processing sensory information. So Conrad is involved in every sense the dog encounters, like the great scent of the fire hydrant, or the sound of food going into their bowl, or seeing their favorite face. Conrad takes all these sensory area inputs like sight, sound, taste, feel, touch, smell, and more, and filters them through the dog's past experiences, the situation the dog is in right now, and how the dog is feeling. Then he decides if the dog should react. So let's bring back Tom, who is representing the amygdala's function. Tom can work really fast and can sometimes take over the brain's function to make the dog react quickly. The quick response can protect the dog from danger, but it can also make dogs overreact to things that aren't really a threat. And it does so based on past experiences rather than what is happening now. So thankfully, with Conrad fully empowered and developed, he can step in and supervise or coach and dramatically reduce Tom's overreach. Tom's influence on a dog's reactivity requires more than mere training techniques. Reactions from a troubled dog who've had some tough past experiences and are working from a deep-seated association rather than logic, it's really key to develop Coach Conrad. The interplay between Conrad and Tom within the canine brain underscores the complexity of addressing behavioral issues. Effective interventions requires this understanding, the underlying neural connections of the brain, recognizing that behavior is the product of both Conrad and Tom working together to evaluate and respond. But we need one more character to help dogs with persistent problems ignite their prefrontal cortex, or in other words, their executive function, to enable new responses and new behaviors. Let's bring back Reggie for a moment, the very ancient part of the brain with this cool toolbox that she uses to manage the dog's body when Tom sends her an activation request. Now, how does she pick what to activate, especially if Tom is overworked and hypervigilant? Well, she's been around for such a long time. She knows that she can't work just willy-nilly. She knows to make the best decision on all the information available to her to regulate the body appropriately. So I want to introduce you to the final member of the brain's team. She is Reggie's important consultant and informant, and her name is Viv. Viv provides this key information to Reggie as a partner to her. Viv helps Reggie to coordinate the pathways that she's decided to use. Viv also senses and reports back to Reggie when a dog is feeling heightened emotions like stress, fear, agitation, or even calmness and happiness. Think of Viv as being in charge of stability, meaning that in situations of threat or safety, Viv ensures that the dog's physical reactions are balanced and coordinated. Without Viv, Reggie could not activate the appropriate response in the pathways. For example, if she is sent a message that the dog is under threat and she activates a fight or flight response, she first has to make sure the dog is capable of running away, right? That is why Viv is important to know. We will use our understanding of Viv, which is actually our vestibular system, to help develop the executive part of the brain, to help develop the executive function part of the brain, Coach Conrad. Now, this is what's cool. The vestibular system has recently been discovered to make an important impact on developing this part of the brain. That is why Viv is important to know. We will use our understanding of Viv, which is actually our vestibular system, to help develop the executive function part of the brain, Coach Conrad. Now, the vestibular system has recently been discovered to have an important impact on developing the executive functioning part of the brain, along with the dog's sensory inputs and their vestibular system. We can effectively help a dog with persistent behavior challenges. Along with our dog's sensory inputs and their vestibular systems, we can effectively help a dog with persistent behavior challenges. By building positive experiences and challenging, like, twisted beliefs of what is to be feared, you can guide your dog towards better responses, enhancing their well-being and strengthening your bond with your dog. Now, in the next episode, we will help you answer, is your dog's behavior normal? Other questions include, what is the probability my dog has been traumatized in the past, emotionally, physically, or both? And if the probability is high that the dog's been traumatized, at what age might it have occurred and why this matters? So a blog on today's episode is available on our website, dogparentology.com. And for subscribers of our Patreon page, we have a downloadable systems thinking guide with what was discussed today in this episode and to help you identify the systems impacting your dog's behavior. Now, let us know in the comments what you thought about this episode. Let us know of dog problems you would like us to explore with science, and please, any other questions you have. Now, that's all for today. But before you go, to keep this podcast free and flowing, we need you to subscribe, like, and receive notifications by clicking on that little bell in our YouTube channel, Dog Parentology Podcast. Or if you feel inspired by what you hear, you can find me on Patreon, where subscribers get infographics, actionable exercises, and special video lessons. And to all the dog parents listening, let's change behaviors and change lives together. I'm Sparky Smith, and you have been listening to the Dog Parentology Podcast.